You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
University of Auckland's Dr. Jin Russell has recently completed her research into the impact of poverty on early childhood development. Russell claims that poverty can have considerable long-lasting impacts on a child's development. These impacts can influence their social skills, learning capabilities, and future job prospects. Louis was joined by Dr. Russell to talk about her study, its importance, and what changes she believes are needed. To start, he asked her to explain her research and how she became interested in the area.
So I work as a developmental paediatrician in Auckland, and one of the things that I've become very interested in is the impact of disadvantage, social disadvantage, and poverty on children's development. So in New Zealand, we know that poverty and disadvantage affects children's physical health. So for instance, children who grow up in households facing disadvantage, they tend to have higher risk of pneumonia and skin infections and rheumatic fever and all kinds of other health conditions that we see on the news. However, I became concerned, now we're going back about 10 years, I became concerned that children's development was also being affected by their early circumstances. And this seemed to be something that we see in the international literature around children in poverty. So I wanted to look at how poverty and social disadvantage affects children's development here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And I've studied this over the last few years using data from the Growing Up in New Zealand study, which is New Zealand's largest contemporary child cohort. The study has about 6,500 children and their families. The children are now aged 11. And I've used data from the children's early years, going up to from before birth through till just before the children went to school, to look at how poverty affects children's development.
Just specifically, would you be able to say how development differs from normal health outcomes?
Yeah, sure. So when we talk about physical health, we're talking about the children's, you know, their body, and that generally we're speaking about illnesses and diseases that affect children's physical bodies. But when we talk about development, we're talking about a set of skills and capabilities that children need to do well in life. These are things like a child's social-emotional development, how well they can regulate themselves emotionally, manage their own behavior, how they recognize and emotions in other people, and how they respond socially. And then we're also talking about children's early learning skills. It taps into things like children's cognitive development and also their language and learning skills. So particularly how well children can focus and pay attention, and whether they've got the kinds of skills that you need when you start at school, the ability to sit and to learn and to attend and to take in new information. So that's what we're talking about with children's development.
So these early development skills that you speak of, how significant can they really be later in life, such as adult and teenagehood? What impact do they have?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So research from other studies, even studies here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, have shown that children's development has a massive impact on their later life outcomes. So the first thing to say is that there's a gradient in children's development. So for instance, there was a famous study that was conducted as part of the Dunedin cohort study, and it was published, I think it was 2011, by the Dunedin researchers, and they had shown that there were what we call gradients in children's self-control abilities throughout childhood, up till age 11. So starting from a very early age, I think something like age 3, up till age 11, there were gradients in children's self-control abilities. What that means is that if you take the whole population of children who are young and you look at the ones who have, you measure their self-control, what you'll find is that some children have a higher degree of self-control than other children, and they're able to delay gratification, for instance. And then they looked at children's later life outcomes, and they found that when these children had grown up and they were 38, they found that the kids who had higher levels of self-control when they were younger actually were doing better financially, they were doing better in terms of their physical health, they were more likely to be employed. So in general, they were doing better. And we see this finding actually plays out across a whole range of children's outcomes. So, for instance, children who have higher language skills when they're younger tend to do better at school, and that advantage amplifies over the school lifespan. And so by the time you leave school, children who've had really good language development early on tend to do better when they leave school, go on and get good jobs.
And just specifically, what are some of the, because obviously poverty is quite a broad determinant, but what are some of the specific examples of things that impact early development?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, when we talk about poverty, we're talking about specifically household income, and household income can have a direct impact on children's development. But the other things that are important are things like the mother's level of education. The mother's usually the one studied rather than fathers, but we're pretty certain that fathers and mothers both have an impact. So mother's level of education is a really key determinant of children's overall development. Other factors as well are really important. So, for instance, whether or not the family speak English as their first language, that also seems to have a bearing on how well children do early on.
So what then do you think that the government should do? What changes would be the best things to implement to help improve these circumstances and conditions?
Yes, so great question. So there's a role for government to play. There's also a role for communities to play and community organisations. Specifically, the government can pull policy levers to improve household income for families. And one of the reasons why I've looked at poverty is because poverty is a determinant of so many children's outcomes, and yet it's also exquisitely sensitive to policy changes. So, for instance, if you raise the household income of children who are at the lowest, you know, experiencing the highest levels of disadvantage, and you raise them up so that their household income's more towards the median, you're going to see improvements in children's development, because that's what we see in every study. We see that there's this direct link between the household income of the family and how well the children are doing later on in school. So I think that the one of the major roles that the government can do is look at household income, and particularly a livable wage or a living wage would be fantastic. The other thing the government can do is put in place really great early child health screening systems, and we've got that at the moment with the government having reviewed the World Child Tamariki Ora developmental system and looking at how we can improve that so that it's more equitable.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.